Senator Obama and I have had and argued our differences, and he has prevailed. No doubt many of those differences remain. These are difficult times for our country, and I pledge to him tonight to do all in my power to help him lead us through the many challenges we face. I urge all Americans. I urge all Americans who supported me to join me in not just congratulating him, but offering our next president our goodwill and earnest effort to find ways to come together.
First things, David, on this November 12th, come together, concession. I got to tell you, I'm not feeling that this morning. I'm not feeling that kind of hopefulness this morning.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning in that cold panic, and I spent about 2 hours going back over the New York Times numbers, looking at other states' numbers, thinking, man, these guys they could pull it off. They could get enough votes thrown out to or disqualified in one way or another, or get the courts to agree on something that. You know, they'll overturn it. Georgia hand count. Oh, we just found 25,000 more votes. Puts Donald Trump in the lead. I'm a little panicked this morning about our democracy.
So you're in the mindset that it could really happen, that this could be stolen.
These are smart people. You know, they're not wise people, but they're smart people, and they've seemed pretty calm about it all, in a way that makes me think that they got a lot of stuff in their back pocket that they're going to pull out and say, nah, we won, actually. Courts agree with us. We're throwing all these votes out. I think it was Mike Pompeo's glib way of saying, well, we'll just have a second Obama. We're going to have a second Trump inauguration is what we're gonna have.
Yeah, so I think there's, you know, legitimacy to thinking of to being in that position. I don't dismiss you out of hand by any means.
Thanks.
So let's I'm the therapist. I'm like, okay, I hear you. Okay, so in Georgia, let's just play out your thinking here. In Georgia, perhaps even they've worked this such that they have a Republican who has been defending the vote count for Biden, so that when the vote count flips, according to this logic, this Republican will look like they were doing it legit, right?
Yeah, because, that's good. That's a little deeper conspiracy than I thought, but yes.
Right, because if that Republican at the beginning had said, like, look, I agree with you, Trump might have won the state, I totally think you're right, and you're probably right, then the argument would be flimsier. But this time, they've attacked a Republican who has defended the vote counts. In fact, did a press conference yesterday where he brought with him about 20 voter, like, county registrars with them, and they stood on the steps, I believe, of City Hall or the Capitol, and talked about the integrity of the process. This is, like, really good stuff. I mean, you're talking five-dimensional chess here. This is good. If you're really going to say, like, because then it's really good if they do find 25,000 more votes, they have a leg to stand on, because the process in his argument has been so completely accurate and thorough.
Well, look, it's 11,000 plus votes with Biden ahead in Arizona. That's 0.35. There's 14,000 votes ahead in Georgia, Nevada 36, Pennsylvania 53,000, but that's 0.78, because that's out of, you know, how many cast in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
It's not very many votes. They're working real hard to get all sorts of things disqualified, and they have their hands on the levers of power.
Sure. So I'm not here to solve your crisis. I can't solve it, because only you can believe or convince yourself. However, this is what I'll say. First of all, that was a great concession speech by McCain. That's what a Republican Party used to look like. They used to have integrity around this process. And the way in which he came together to support Barack Obama at that time was meaningful. Now, could this happen? Could the Republicans win this presidential election? Could Trump win it? Anything is possible, yes. But what I look for is larger patterns. That's what I do, larger patterns. And I think about it from the perspective of kind of what level should I calibrate my concerns at? Because there's unrelenting numbers of things that we can be worried about, starting with COVID, and then moving to constant problems with immigration, fears around families, people being deported, to the kind of outright loss of employment insurance for people or benefits, to international crises. So all of that is like on the table. It's a Thanksgiving dinner of disastrous things, and you're trying to figure out which ones to partake in. So I spend a regular kind of like working methodology for me is to try to calibrate my levels of concern about each of these things. And on this matter, the issue of the election, I would say I'm at a concern of a 2 out of 10.
Really?
With 10 being the highest, the worst concern. So where are you at?
Today? Last night at 4 a.m, I was at a 6 or a 7.
Okay. So the reason I'm at a 2 is a couple things. One is there is a process of counting and verifying that is unimpeded at this time. Nothing has arisen to impede it. There hasn't come anything at all that has suggested that that process is not moving along. There is an enormous amount of gnashing of teeth and wailing that is going on, but the processes, the legal processes, continue unabated. What that looks like is there are a set of legal cases being brought against the vote totals in key states, from Michigan to Wisconsin to Pennsylvania to Nevada and Arizona. That's the gnashing of teeth and the wailing. But those processes are moving along. Court cases are being dismissed. Mark Elias is the top lawyer for the Democrats. And he every night tweets where they're at. And going to bed last night, I think the Republicans were 0-for-12. Okay, so far, so good there. Then there's the state verifications. I think we had 6 states yesterday that confirmed their vote totals. This is called certification, legal certification. They certified their vote totals. None of those are the really close states, of course, but they certify it. And every state that certifies is another domino in the system of saying, this is how we do it. This is the way it works. This is the careful, methodical way we do it. That is occurring. Nobody has stopped the certification process. Number 3, you have slowly and not near what we would like, but definitely moving along. People in the Republican Party who are acknowledging that Donald Trump, that Joe Biden is the president-elect. Now, I understand that because of all the trauma that Trump has enacted in the last 5 years since he started running for president, that Democrats and progressives would like there to be a resounding cascade of Republicans, maybe including Trump or at least many others, saying, we recognize Joe Biden as the president-elect and we support him. That is a complete head-in-the-sand perspective by people on the left, thinking that that is ever going to happen. That isn't the way that someone like Trump and the Republican Party as we know it today loses. It just isn't that way. So I want to use it. So what much is a much more reasonable expectation is that they get to say everything they want, but the process unfolds and is done legally, and then it's over. And they keep whining, but they don't have any leg to stand on. Here's how Trump et al. Loses. I'm going to use an analogy. So I grew up outside of Detroit, and a suburb of Detroit, and huge Detroit sports teams fan. So Detroit Tigers, Detroit Lions, they're horrible. They never made the Super Bowl. And Detroit Pistons, when I was in my teens and early 20s, were the best basketball team in the NBA. They won the championships in 1989 and 1990. And they were not beloved people. They had a nickname called the Bad Boys because they were brutal. They treated people poorly. They were rough. And every other team in the NBA despised them because of the way they were. They had Isaiah Thomas and Dennis Rodman and a bunch of other players. And I, of course, loved them because they were my team. In 1991, Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, who were the nemesis of the Pistons, and the Pistons were always beating him. And in fact, they literally roughed up Jordan every year. And so Jordan had to work to get stronger. They had to build a team around Jordan. And in 1991, the Bulls beat the Pistons in the semifinals and then went on to win the championship, the first time that Michael Jordan won a championship. But in game four of the Pistons-Bulls series, the Bulls are about to sweep, win four in a row and win, and it's going to be over. And with about 2 minutes left, there's a timeout. And it's clear the Pistons are going to lose. And it's on their home court in Detroit. And Isaiah Thomas leads the Pistons, and they walk off the floor. They walk off the floor, the stars of the Pistons. They don't shake hands. They don't do any of this. They just walk off. It was classless. It was gutless. It was so non-sportsmanship. It was horrible. And in the Last Dance documentary that Michael Jordan just did with ESPN, he talks about that moment and how much he despises Isaiah Thomas for doing that. And that's real. That's real. What the Pistons did was horrible. They were gutless, classless, unsportsmanlike. And they were my team, but I'm still aware of this. I'm aware of this. And that's exactly the way Trump is going to leave the scene. He's going to walk off without shaking anybody's hand. He's not going to acknowledge anything. He's going to go off yelling. He's going to be turning around yelling at people as he walks off. But as long as what's going on in the court adheres to the rules, follows the process, we don't deviate from that, then he's going to walk off the court. He is, as the loser. So that's where I'm at. I have seen no deviation from that, despite all of the rhetoric. So if you want to point to one place where you might say, wait a minute, because I know where you're coming from, Steve. It might be this person who has to okay the transition process.
Yep.
For the government. They have to okay that Biden can get his briefings. So that's one person in the government. And let's give her until the certification happens of 270 electoral votes. If by then there's no acceptance of the transition process, then obviously we have a legal issue and a problem that the Biden camp will go after. However, I do not think we will get there. I do not expect it. We have a couple leading Republicans who say that Biden should be getting all of that information and briefings. And I expect that will unfold here in short order. So that's why I'm at a two. Until I see some deviation, I cannot let the sound and fury engulf me.
All right. Even though you said you weren't going to talk me off the ledge, you've talked me off the ledge a little bit. I mean,
I'm wait, but wait. The reason that you're on the ledge is because the sound and fury is so fierce, and it's been so abusive for so long.
It's also because of your caveat, if they follow the rules. And it's pretty easy for dictators to step outside the frame of the rules and impose their will through loyalists. And I guess it was also the firing of Mark Esper. You know, not my favorite defense secretary of all times, but the installation of yes men into those posts just, I mean, I have some faith in the military that they swore the oath of the Constitution and not the individual, but it doesn't mean they're all going to do that. I mean, I know I'm going for the extremes here, but it's very odd to know that these people don't play by the rules. And then for us to, I mean, there's nothing to do, but it is a little difficult then to say, well, there's rules there and we're going to hold on. It's just, you know, it's a little bit like being in a duel with somebody and the person who's in the duel says, here, hold my hat. And then they hold you take their hat, and then that's when they whack you. So that's my metaphor. But by the way, transition teams. On the day following the election, the GSA begins to provide office space and support services for the president-elect, with support continuing up to 60 days after the inauguration. So there is a long chunk of time where this GSA administrator can do her job. And she has in some ways started, right? Because they can't, I mean, you know, Biden can do a lot of stuff without her support. But yeah, it's when it's all certified. What's our final certification? And it's a good thing the Supreme Court ruled that electors have to follow the will of the voter. But even that's a little hazy, isn't it?
It's a little hazy. It is. December 15th is the Electoral College final certification deadline for each state, where they have to have done it by then.
Okay.
But most states are well before then. We're talking about in the next 2 weeks for most states.
Yeah.
So let me say something here, Steve. I would never want the rhetoric of the Trump administration or all of these folks who say these conspiracy theories. But Democrats have been pissed at Al Gore for 20 years.
20 years.
Okay. Because he gave a gracious concession speech in 2000 when, in their mind, Florida was stolen. Okay. And the reality is that not that Trump and the strongest Trumpers will ever be convinced, but the reality is that there's a lot of other Americans who will be further cemented that Joe Biden is president-elect when all of the legal processes and all of the counts are done with extraordinary care. So to me, I don't really get troubled by the fact that all of this is playing out slowly and with a hand count in Georgia. To me, if Biden's going to win, what are we worried about? On the legal side, what are we worried about? I don't see anything at this time to be worried about. On the extra legal side, the cheating, the abuse, the dictatorship. Absolutely, I understand. That's a whole different ballgame. And in reality, that could occur. But we cannot control that today. We cannot control that.
No.
So we can do what we can do. And what we can do is turn our eyes to Georgia. We should look to our leaders and to see how they're responding. What is the strength and the confidence and certainty that they have, okay? And I want to have you play two clips, Steve, maybe with a slight pause in between. One is John Fetterman, who's the lieutenant governor in Pennsylvania, the key state. And let's hear his righteous outrage. Let's hear it. And then also in that clip, let's hear his confidence, his determination, his certainty of where we're at. And then we'll hear from Joe Biden for about a minute in a clip and listen to what he says about Mike Pompeo, or actually more than what he says, what he does right at the end of his soundbite, where he responds to kind of thinking about Pompeo. Listen to it all the way to the end and hear his reaction. We need to trust these folks. They live and breathe this. This is what they do for a living. This is what they know. Biden, 8 years of vice president, John Fetterman, lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania. If you don't know who John Fetterman is, he's going to be either the next senator or the next governor of Pennsylvania, whichever he chooses. The dude is a force. So let's just believe that they've got that and we've got what we can do, which is to focus on the field work and the advocacy. All right, let's listen to these and let's get back to work, Steve.
I mean, look, bottom line, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, the president would be on deck to have a better Thanksgiving than he's going to have. You know, math doesn't care about his feelings, doesn't care about anyone's feelings. The math in Pennsylvania is damning for the president. Like, these contested late ballots, 10,000, like, oh, no, we're going to take that to the Supreme Court. Like, take it to the Supreme Court. You know what? Spot the president all 10,000 for all I care, because the vice president is going to be up 50, 60,000 votes when all the counting is done, if not more. The bottom line is that there is no truth to any of this. And at some point, we all have to collectively accept that yelling voter fraud when there is no evidence whatsoever of it is yelling fire in a crowded theater. And it is harming the democratic franchise of our country and the peaceful transition of power. And we cannot accept that.
During the campaign, you said you were not naive about how difficult it would be to unite the country. It's now 3 days after you were projected as the president-elect. The president himself says he has won this election. His own administration has not moved forward to give you access to what you need to do to begin the work of your transition. Just a few minutes ago, the Secretary of State, when asked if he would cooperate with a smooth transition, he said there will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. I wonder if you have a message for the president who may well be watching right now, and how do you expect to be able to work with Republicans when so many have thus far refused to even acknowledge your victory?
Well, first of all, we are already beginning the transition. We're well underway. And the ability for the administration in any way by failure to recognize this our win does not change the dynamic at all in what we're able to do. We've announced yesterday, as you know, the health group that we put together today. We're going to be moving along in a consistent manner, putting together our administration, the White House, and reviewing who we're going to pick for the cabinet positions. And nothing's going to stop that. And so I'm confident that the fact that they're not willing to acknowledge we won at this point is not of much consequence in our planning and what we're able to do between now and January 20th.